This is Up to Date on KCUR 89.3. I'm Steve Kraske. Jazz trumpeter Sean Jones is a force of nature. He'll be in town Friday night to play with the Kansas City Jazz Orchestra, and he's someone worth listening to. Here he is on his 2011 album, No Need for Words, this track, Look and See. Sean Jones, welcome to Up to Date.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here.
Man, how do you do that? I used to play the trumpet. I could never do what you just did. I played, tried it for 4 years. It just couldn't get there.
Well, sometimes it's the result of a lot of practice.
I know.
Sometimes I just wiggle my fingers and pray.
Well, yeah. Well, you sound great. You know, you once said that the harder it became to master the trumpet, the more you wanted to play it. Most people, like me, would give up, but you went a different way, and I'm wondering why.
Well, I really love the challenge of playing the instrument itself. As a young person, age of 10, 11, 12, I was fascinated by difficult things. I was the kid that always wanted the chemistry sets and the challenges. And so once I picked up the trumpet and I realized even though it had three buttons, it was pretty difficult, I fell in love with that challenge.
Hey, how difficult was it for you to master it? And I'm wondering, at what point in your life did the light bulb go off and did you think, okay, I got this thing?
Well, it's always been a challenge. It continues to be a challenge. And, you know, there are moments of success when you realize, okay, I figured that thing out. And you just keep going down that rabbit hole. And I've been going down that rabbit hole since I was 10 years old.
You know, I read once that a music teacher gave you a copy of Miles Davis's Kind of Blue and Tutu, and that sealed your fate when it came to deciding what you wanted to do. Why did those albums light you up so much?
Wow. Well, growing up in the environment that I grew up in Warren, Ohio, I was grew up in a Pentecostal church. I was there. I make a joke. I was in church 9 days a week, 397 days a year. And growing up in a gospel church, you kind of get everything. You get jazz, gospel, blues, even some hints of classical music. So I was never really truly taken by the popular music because it seemed one-dimensional at the time. I now have a different view of it. But when I heard those albums, I could sort of hear everything, all of the stuff that I heard in church without the voice. And I was really fascinated by that. And I started to check out who was playing on those albums. And I just, again, went down this wonderful rabbit hole that I'm still going down.
I was going to say, Kind of Blue has turned so many people onto jazz, maybe myself included, and sort of just people just keep searching for that sound because it was so, so incredible.
Yeah, you know, Kind of Blue is, you know, not to make a serious religious reference, but it's kind of a reference to the Bible and that there's an Old and a New Testament, you know. I guess Kind of Blue would kind of be like the Gospels. It kind of like points to everything that was before and coming after it.
Well, you mentioned that you grew up in a Pentecostal church where you had to either sing or play some kind of instrument to be part of the community to some extent. How important was that to building your career as a professional musician?
Oh, very much. It was extremely important in that the bulk of the church service was sung from beginning to end. Like, I think that the only thing that wasn't sung in the church was perhaps a portion of the sermon and the announcements. Everything else was some type of a song. Wow. And when you grow up in that type of environment, it sort of creates this this need inside of you to communicate with other means of communication aside from words. And I've been doing that ever since, man. And I think that most people that you find that grow up in that environment, there's a certain level of peace that we have and a certain level of reach that we're always trying to get to, because that was Sunday morning for us.
Right.
It was always about getting beyond the tasks of the week and going to another place.
Jazz great Sean Jones is my guest. You know, I read an interview with you in Downbeat not long ago, and I love the story you told in there about a teacher you once had, a trumpet teacher named Isotta Pellegrini.
Yeah, Isotta Pellegrini.
Isotta,
yeah.
Okay. Tell me who he was, and tell us about the time he took you for a ride in his Maserati.
Oh, man, Isotta Pellegrini was one of the greatest trumpet players that no one knew.
Right.
And the reason I say that is because he was poised to be this sort of prodigy in going into the Cleveland Orchestra earlier on in his career. And he turned them down multiple times to stay at Youngstown State and to raise his family. He wanted to be a family man. And he knew that if he got into the orchestra, that would take him away from raising his children. And so that was really beneficial to me later on, and that I got a chance to go to his house and hang out in his basement and study the trumpet. Now, the story that you're referencing is the story that happened right before my second lesson with him. My first lesson with him, he pulled his trumpet out and he was playing all of these things in this very complex etude book called the Arban's Book. Mm-hmm. And after the lesson, I put that horn in the case and I said, I'll never be able to do that. So
forget that. Enough of that.
Exactly. Well, at the start of the next lesson, I was sitting at home and he called my mother and he said, where's Sean? What's he doing? And my mom said, hey, I think he decided to stop lessons. Well, Pelly decided that he was going to come over my house in his Alfa Romeo. And I got in the car and he started driving down the highway going 80, 90, 100 miles an hour. You know, luckily we're in Ohio, so it was just a bunch of cornfields.
Yeah.
but we stopped on the side of the road and he said, how did that feel to you? And I said, that was pretty amazing, Pelly. He was like, were you scared? I said, a little bit. He said, were you excited? I said, I was really excited. He said, you stick with me and I'll make your career like that.
Wow. What a great story. I think he was wearing a helmet and you probably weren't, right? He was so into it. He actually wore a helmet in that Maserati.
Yeah, well, he was definitely like your quintessential Italian roadster. So it was a lot of fun being around Pelly.
Well, along the way, as so many trumpet players do in the jazz world, you met Wynton Marsalis, the great trumpet player who oversees jazz at Lincoln Center. Why is Wynton Marsalis a good person to know in your world, Sean?
Well, obviously, Wynton is one of the greatest trumpet players to ever walk the face of the earth. You can hear it on all of the albums. He's also a fantastic composer, fantastic band leader. He's very prolific. But I would have to say the thing that for me separates Wynton from other musicians is his work ethic. You aren't just born with the gift to be able to create a multi-million-dollar jazz organization in Columbus Circle, one of the most expensive real estate properties in the world.
Right.
By just kind of sitting and twiddling your thumbs and dreaming. Well, he dreamt, of course, but I saw this man literally figure out how to become a CEO of a multimillion-dollar organization. And it's just a true honor to watch him work. I saw him write a symphony in 3 weeks,
right.
Like literally staying up all night long. So I think Wynton's genius is in his work ethic. Yes, he's a fantastic and incredible musician, but the fact that he can methodically accomplish things just and is incredibly task oriented and figures it out, that's his true genius.
You know, you were introduced to him one night in a cell phone call. I think he had listened to you play somewhere. And tell us, you weren't buying the idea that that was actually Wynton Marsalis on the other end of that call.
Yeah, that's another funny story. Excuse me. I was in Columbus, Ohio, And I'd gone down there just kind of on my with my last few dollars in my pocket and the last little bit of gas in my gas tank.
Right.
And I got out the car and went into this jam session where Wynton's lead alto player, Wes Anderson, was doing a jam session. And I walked in there and I found myself on the stage with several trumpet players from Columbus. And I saw Wes Anderson recording it, or what I thought he was recording it. It's kind of chuckling. And I walked off the stage and Wes came up to me and he said, "Hey, man, talk to the guy that's on the other side." And I grabbed the phone and I said, "Hello." And I hear this voice, like quasi professional New Orleans drawl.
Yes.
Said, "Hey, man, that sounded great, man." I said, "Who is this?" He says, "It's Wynton Marcellus." And I hung up the phone immediately.
You weren't buying that.
No, I wasn't buying it at all, man. And I gave the phone back to Wes. And Wes says, "Why'd you hang up the phone, man? Call him back." And I said, "Okay, call him back." And I got back on the phone with Wynton. And I said, "Okay, you got to prove to me that you're Wynton Marcellus." And then I suddenly heard this blistering trumpet on the other line. And I said, "Oh, my God, Mr. Marcellus, it's great to talk to you."
And
he gave
his phone
number. And I would later go to his house and end up in the band.
I was going to say, you got really lucky because I think like a year passed before you talked to him again. And you had his phone number in your cell phone, Sean. And I think it was your girlfriend at the time was sort of saying, "Hey, you know, call him. It's time for you to, you know, get to know him and make a move in New York." And it was your girlfriend who called him up and sort of handed you the phone and said, "Talk to the guy," right?
Yeah, well, Michelle wasn't my girlfriend. Perhaps we should have been.
But okay, she's a friend. Okay.
That's another story,
I'm taking your relationship somewhere else where it doesn't need to be. Okay, I'm sorry.
No, it's all good. Yeah. But perhaps you were feeling what the true energy was some kind of way. But anyway.
Right.
But she was into track, man. And she grabbed my phone and ran, and there was no way I was catching her. And she found Wynton's number in my phone, called him up, and got him on the line. And Wynton talked to me, and he said, "Hey, man, what are you doing right now?" It was like maybe 9 o'clock in the morning. And he convinced me to come up to New York from New Brunswick, New Jersey. It's about an hour train ride. I got there, and I walked into his apartment. And he was sitting there. I'll never forget it, man, because his apartment overlooked the Hudson River.
Wow.
And there was this full rhythm section in his apartment, man. And he was playing chess while he was in a rehearsal.
Wow.
And they were rehearsing and playing chess for a couple hours. And I realized that I had to get back to Jersey and finish some of my work.
You had a final exam waiting for you, I think.
Yeah, I had a final that I had to do, man. And I told Wynton, I said, "Listen, I got to get back to Jersey."
Yeah.
And he said, "Okay, well, pull your horn out first." And we started playing a little bit together. And while we were playing, the phone rang. And it was Ryan Kaiser, who was his second trumpet player at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And Ryan was basically telling Wynton that he couldn't make that summer's tour.
And I got to move along here, but you became the guy, and that began a 6-year run at Jazz at Lincoln Center, right?
Yeah, man.
That's
yeah.
Great.
He said he mentioned three trumpet players, and I was the third one, and Wynton offered me the gig right then and there.
And that's how history gets made in the jazz world sometimes. Sean Jones performs at 8 Friday night in Helzberg Hall at the Kauffman Center. He's appearing in the opening concert for the Kansas City Jazz Orchestra's 20th anniversary season. Just go to the Jazz Orchestra's go to the Kauffman Center website to get tickets for that gig. And Sean, what a pleasure to have you on the show. Just an honor for me.
Thank you so much for having me, man. I can't wait for the gig.
Up to Date is a production of KCUR 89.3. Our theme music was composed by the great Bobby Watson. The program is produced by Danny Alexander, Zach Wilson, Elizabeth Ruiz, and Reginald David. Our engineer is Paul Nakatura. I'm Steve Kraske. Thanks for listening.